The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is real estate investing rock stars' biggest mistakes. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys, as I usually do on our Fun Fact Fridays. I just hope that your new year is starting out well, that you're moving forward with your goals and good things are happening. I know it can be so easy to get discouraged, especially in today's market, which is really a seller's market. And it's a little more challenging for us that are on the buying side of things. But hey, you know, don't be discouraged. It's just kind of like your New Year's resolutions. You know, sometimes we just have to kind of readjust our goals a little bit. But don't bail out on them entirely. You know, just keep moving forward. You just, as long as you're moving forward, that's the one thing that I see that blows me away is that I've seen some folks that have failed once, twice, three times, four times, gotten turned down on loans, lose the LOI bids. I mean, they're just on and on, but they stick with it. And they eventually get that property that works out to be just the right property for what they're trying to do. And it works out really great. So just don't get discouraged. Keep moving forward. Also, as I'm speaking to you right now, it is a major league freeze in the Midwest and the South right now. So those of you guys that are kind of toughing that out, man. I mean, I thought it was bad at 59 here in Southern Cal, but man, I know you probably, yeah, right, Bill, 59. I mean, it's like minus 15, I think, in Indianapolis right now. I mean, it's just crazy. So I hope you guys are keeping warm and not going out if you don't have to. And hopefully we'll all get through this thing together. Even Atlanta, I was so surprised. I mean, our property management firm is closing down because of snow. Crazy stuff. Anyway, yeah, just kind of update you a little bit. We are still moving forward with some great improvements. I had mentioned last time on the 22 unit that we had put some big spotlights outside, and that has really proven to be very, very effective. And we've seen an actual reduction in the amount of activity, sort of illegal activities going on outside, which is great. We're moving forward. We're doing a lot of improvements, as I mentioned to you. We're bumping rents. We're doing some neat things in that apartment. Some good stuff. I am planning on doing an Airbnb sort of update episode. I was, just going to share with you what we have been doing on the Airbnb side and the things that have been happening. But, I'm actually curious to see if any of you folks have started doing Airbnb. And if you have, I would love to hear from you. I would love if you wanted to send me an email. Maybe we could touch base. I could actually record some of your comments and thoughts. Whether you're doing good or you're having some big challenges, whatever it is, I would love to hear from you. Those of you that are sort of launching into that space. And just want to do one little special episode on that. So if you are one of those folks, you can email me at bill@olddogsreinetwork.com. And I would love to see if maybe we could plug you into that episode or at least share your thoughts. Okay, well, let's get moving forward with our real estate investing rock stars' biggest mistakes. Now, this is really kind of something different, but you know, we've done nearly 300 podcast episodes. Can you believe that? This is crazy. I mean, we started this thing in 2016, and we've been doing twice a week for quite a while. It's been fantastic. And I have been so excited. We've had some great guests. I mean, I'm learning stuff every single day. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys, but I literally, after these interviews, like, well, I'm in the middle of the interview, it's really hard to always listen because I'm thinking of the next question and I'm kind of watching the time and I'm looking at all these different factors. And I don't always get a chance to really glean the great stuff out of those interviews. So I am the one that sits down and spends time. I used to have other people doing the show notes. Now this is my job. And so I literally go through every second of that interview and, you know, do the show notes so that it'll be helpful for you guys as a reference vehicle, but even more so for me, because that's where I'm getting my education, is talking to some of the greatest minds in real estate investing right now and being able to decipher that information and learn from it as well. So that has been really, really cool. Well, what we're doing in today's episode is we're actually looking at some of the comments of some of those, what I'm calling real estate investing rock stars that we've had. And I say that everybody I've ever had on is a rock star. Definitely, you know, just because somebody's famous doesn't mean that they're any more of a rock star than somebody else. But there are some people that have just done amazing things in this space. So what I've done is I've kind of went through some of those episodes, and I'm looked, you know, one of the questions that I ask on a pretty regular basis is, what is your biggest mistake that you've made as a real estate investor? And I get some very interesting responses. So I'm going to share some of those with you from some of our guests. And as you know, we have had a lot of great folks on. Some of them have some great answers. And then we also see trends. There are certain things that are reoccurring on a regular basis that seem to be continued mistakes that people do on a regular basis. Things like bad partnerships, not having enough money for, going into the deal to do the rehabs. And I mean, there's just some reoccurring things too, but I wanted to highlight, you know, a few of these interesting ones, and we'll see how we can do. We're going to be hearing from, you know, people like Joe Fairless and Rod Cleef, Ken McElroy, David Lindahl, Brandon Turner, Jay Scott, Jake and Gino, Michael Blanc, and others. So we're going to go ahead and give this a shot. I'm going to also try to put in some sound bites from them as well. But let's go ahead and get started. My first guest that I'm going to share is Joe Fairless. Now, Joe has been a mentor to me, a great guy, good friend. He has done phenomenal things in a very short period. I think we started our podcast shortly after he started his, but he went on a daily 7 days a week podcast, which is just like mind-boggling to me because I can barely do 2 days a week. But it's really been amazing for him. And he has, I think, close to $500 million in real estate holdings right now. And of course, he's host of the best real estate investing podcast ever. He's an author now. He's just done some really cool stuff. So when I asked him what his biggest mistake was, or biggest mistakes, should I say, this is what he said.
Oh, I've made a lot. And I'd say two big ones that I've made. One is poor due diligence on the inspection for that 168 unit. And then two, and this is so stupid, but I did it. Two is raising money for the down payment, but not having an operating budget or a cushion for improvements that need to be made.
Okay, so that's just a little clip. He went on more to get into detail. He did reference a 168-unit deal. That was his first apartment deal. Amazing that the first one he did was 168 units, and it was a master lease. So there were some pretty intense things there. But I think what he cites are huge ones. One, the due diligence part. We all kind of encounter that issue. If we don't do our due diligence properly, that can come to bite you in a long, long, for a long, long time. It can also just cut into your bottom line real significantly as well. And I know that there were some fixes that he had to deal with later on, and that cost him quite a bit. Again, it was something that could have been picked out during the due diligence phase. Also, the money thing, this is one that is a reoccurring one, is that, you know, we go and we raise our money, or whether we put in our own money or not, we usually don't have that money set aside for the CapEx stuff and the things that we, you know, he referenced specifically his operating budget, not having that there, or enough money for the improvements. And so that is a huge one, and one that we, I think, really, really need to look at, is over-raise if you can. And keep in mind that there are always going to be things that are going to cost more. I mean, I found that real point blank on my 22-unit, same deal. So something definitely a real good point here. Our next rock star, so to speak, and actually this guy was kind of a... Well, he was kind of like a garage band wannabe rock star, but hey, nonetheless, I'm talking about David Lindahl, and David is the author of a couple of very popular books in real estate investing, Multifamily Millions, Emerging Real Estate Markets. He has also a huge educational business, but you know, I think the thing that's impressive is that yeah, he's also still an investor, and he's got over 7,000 units. So he is just a real active in the field. But when I asked him what his biggest mistake was, this is what he had to say.
Well, my biggest mistake was I had done a lot of smaller deals, so I thought I was ready to go up and do big deals. There was nobody out there educating like I educate for multifamilies. There was a lot of guys doing single family, so I had to do like a lot of trial and error. So I had done, you know, over 40 smaller multifamily deals, and I thought I could jump right into a big one. I mean, a big one, a 420-unit property.
Wow.
And in another state, in Alabama. And I didn't think it was going to be a problem, but I had two other businesses growing pretty fast at the same time as well. And it became a problem because I didn't focus on it enough. I thought it was going to be a two-year turnaround. It was a turnaround property that took me 6 years. And oh my God, it was so painful. Most painful thing of my life.
Okay, well, so you got a little bit of a taste there that, and this does happen with some folks. I mean, jumping into a 420 unit is huge. I mean, as we heard before, Joe Fairless was, you know, 168, and that's pretty significant. But jumping into 420 right off the bat, that can be a little overwhelming. So, yeah, you know, I don't think you have to start with single family homes and work your way up to apartments. I think you could start with maybe smaller apartments. You could maybe start with a duplex or a fourplex. But jumping, you know, into something that huge, which really requires some management experience and effort, you could see he thought he would hold on to it for 2 years. He had to hold on to it for six or seven. So that's a pretty significant one. Then I got a chance to talk to Jake and Gino. Yeah, you probably know Jake and Gino. They've got a great book out there called Wheelbarrow Profits. They have also a consulting and educational business as well. And they're very active, especially active in the southern part, especially in Tennessee and areas like that. Well, here's what they had to say when I asked them specifically, you know, about their biggest mistakes. They each had one here, so let's listen.
Well, I'm older, so I've got a ton more mistakes than Jake. And
I think they're different too, right, Gene? I think you've had different ones than I've had, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. Well, my mistake was when I bought the commercial property, I didn't know the asset class, the niche. I wasn't really too familiar with commercial properties and the leasing and the market itself. I wish I had been more familiar with that. Multifamilies, Jake always likes to say you can't live in the internet. And I just feel comfortable with multifamilies because there's always going to be a market. As far as the demographics go, that's why these assets are going up and cap rates are compressing, because everyone's rent, there's so many more renters. Business has been shaky for the last 8 or 9 years. So commercial leasing, it's been tough. I wish I had known more about that, asset class. I wish I had educated myself more. Maybe I wouldn't have pulled the trigger, or maybe I would have paid less. I'm not sure what would have happened. So that was a really big mistake of mine.
And just to clarify too, because commercial is a broad area. I mean, are you talking office space, gas station, retail?
No. I was talking. It's actually mixed use. So I had some office upstairs. So office space upstairs in that market is typically dead. No one wants to rent upstairs office space. Even down here in Florida, second floor office space in a strip mall is basically useless. I mean, you're getting half of what you should. I had retail in the middle, and then I had industrial in the back. So it was a mixed use property. And I didn't know too much about, leases, about commercial leases. So when they talk about commercial real estate, it's funny because you talk about a commercial loan. Commercial loans are multifamilies that are, five or more units. That's a commercial loan. This was mixed use. So it was office space. It was a retail, and then it was industrial in the back. So I had all three.
And then Jake shared his specific mistake areas.
Hands down, just, probably hiring the wrong people in the beginning, maybe being a little frugal, maybe a little cheap, and not getting the right people in when we were starting to scale the business and going through those kind of growing pains, and totally have transformed that over the last few years and realize it's all about the people that you hire, and really do we take a very hard look at everyone we bring in, and it's all about attitude.
Okay, so two really good examples of mistakes. And this one I've heard of too. People, especially when a market for a particular asset class is maybe slowing down, they're thinking, okay, well, I've been in apartments, but now I'm looking at storage, or I'm looking at office buildings. There's not a problem moving into those areas, but you need the expertise. So you've got to at least have the people on your team that can handle that particular asset class and understand it, because otherwise you're going to go through this learning curve that may cost you some dollars. And then Jake had a real good point. Man, and I've heard this over and over again too, being pound wise, penny foolish, or is it penny wise, pound foolish, whatever. The idea is when it comes to critical members of your team, and it comes to maybe a lot of different things that you may be involved with. For example, you might want to save money and not hire an attorney. You might want to do everything through a legal Zoom. Legal Zoom, you can certainly do things through legal Zoom, but without a strong attorney on your team, you're going to have some issues. And just, again, being cheap, that's not the place you want to be cheap. Same thing goes with contractors and other people that you are hired that are very critical. He talked about some, as they're scaling up, they're hiring some people they didn't want to spend, maybe for the person that really should have been coming aboard, they had bad experience with that. Next, Michael Blanc, also an author now out there. He's also got a great podcast, and he also is a very active investor. So he had actually a number of different mistakes that happened, all with his first apartment deal. So here we go for Michael.
Yeah, it was the first deal I did was a 12 unit in Washington D.C. and I actually got it through a wholesaler who knew a wholesaler. It was one of those daisy chains through the house flipping side, and it was a real mess. It was a mess to close. There was compliance issues, there was delinquency issues, vacancy issues. There was a big giant mess. And once we got that straightened out and closed on it, the real mess started. There was one particular tenant who, the least offense, it was not paying the rent, but he kind of made my life miserable by calling all kinds of different agencies on me. And luckily that stopped, but it went on for about 18 months. And I thought I was going to run out of money in this deal. I had put a cash reserve in for the unforeseen fund, but this guy was draining me very quickly. So it was kind of a I just had dropped myself into the deep end on this one. And when I speak to people, other more experienced people, they can't believe all the things that happened in this one deal. You know, I eventually ended up replacing my property manager, learned a lot through that process. And now that property is not only stable, but doing very well. And we're probably going to refinance out or the investors out of that deal.
Wow. Did you go into it thinking it was a value add deal and it ended up being much more than just a value add deal?
It was a value add deal. We had to do some renovations. Rents were very low, but because of rent control, we knew it would take some time to do that. The biggest mistake was the property management company just did not like Section 8, but it was a Section 8 type building. So the new property manager specialized in Section 8, and it made a huge difference because Section 8 in Washington, D.C. is exempt from rent control, which means that if you put a Section 8 tenant in there, you can go from $500 to $1,000, and that made a humongous difference to the cash flow.
Now, there's a lot of issues there. The apartment starting off was a little bit questionable. Probably didn't do his due diligence. Again, he was a new investor, so that happens. But a couple of key issues here that were happening. One, there was this tenant that was calling government agencies, and that was costing him. He had a little bit of a reserve ready, but he didn't have that much of a reserve, and he was getting concerned. This is one of those shortage of money issues where you don't have enough money there to sort of fight off the things that you don't expect will happen. Also, he had kind of a creative approach in that it's a rent control district. Now, I would not buy rental properties in rent control. Now, Mike, don't take this personal, but no, I just rent control is really really difficult for landlords. But he found a way around it by doing Section 8. Now, Section 8 ain't all that great either, but he did have a way around it. Unfortunately, his property manager that he hired or that came with the property, I'm not really sure where that property manager came from, but didn't know how to do Section 8. And it is tricky, and it does require a lot of special attention and special ways to handle things. So so there are a couple of issues there. One, the property management was not good. The rent control was an issue, shortage of funds. And I think that, all of those kind of stacked together really hit him pretty hard. Next, you're going to hear from Brandon Turner. Of course, we all know Brandon Turner pretty much. Everybody listening has been to BiggerPockets.com and or listened to their podcast or their YouTube channel. But Brandon's a co-host there of the podcast. He has written numerous books for Bigger Pockets, writes articles. He is hosts webinars. He invests. I mean, this guy, he's just like 40,000 miles an hour, but a great guy, a really great guy. He really kind of only vests in his immediate market. But let's hear what he had to say when he shared some of his biggest mistakes.
Sure. Good question. So biggest mistake I probably ever made was, this is kind of covers multiple properties, but then I'll give you a specific example. So when I started, I didn't really know how to analyze deals very well. And so what I would do is I would kind of look at them and go, that house is $42,000. That's really cheap. It must be a good deal. And then I would buy it because I just assumed that if it was cheap, it was a good deal. That was a huge mistake that got me in trouble several times. I've gotten, you know, a lot of my early properties, I didn't analyze them. I just used my head like, okay, yeah, I think the mortgage would be about this much and probably rent for about this much, so I should be doing pretty good. You know, I didn't really know how to lay out, like, how to account for the fact that it's going to sit vacant for 5% of the year or whatever. Or I'm going to have to put a new roof on it every 20 years and divide that out of over 20 years and 12 months each year. You know, how much do I need to set aside every year for the roof and those kind of things? You know, I didn't know how to calculate any of that stuff. All I did was just like saw cheap equals good. So I used to buy a lot of junk that I should have never bought. And today I don't really make any money on it because I might make $3,000 or $4,000 over the course of a year. And then I'll spend $5,000 on a new, you know, whatever, back porch because it was falling down, you know, things like that. Right. So that was a huge mistake, was just not knowing how to analyze deals very well. And another example of that is I bought a house that was a duplex, and I decided I was going to turn it into a single family house and I was going to flip it. Now, this was located in a great location. I got a killer good deal on it. And I mean, it was really a fantastic duplex. And I thought, you know, I love those flipping shows. I'm going to flip it. So I didn't do the numbers very well. I didn't know how to analyze it right. I just went in there, my wife and I started working on it. We spent a solid 12 months of our life every single day, 48, 50, 60 hours a week, working physically on this flip. And, I mean, I ripped out the outside staircase that went to the second unit, and I built this grand staircase up the middle. I mean, travertine tiles, wood, I mean, cherry wood floors. It was amazing. Anyway, it sat on the market for a solid year, and then at the end of the day, it finally sold. And when I ran the numbers at the end and figured out what I actually made on the property, I lost 10 grand. So I wasted 2 years of my life and lost 10 grand. The worst part was when I looked at it later and I said, you know, just hypothetically, what if I would have kept it as a duplex? What if I would have just kept it and put less money into it because it was already pretty much done, just needed paint and carpet at that point. I looked and I realized I would have been making close to $1,000 a month in cash flow on that property forever. I mean, for as long as I held it till I paid the mortgage off, then I'd be making like, you know, $2,000 a month in cash flow. It was crazy. And so that was a huge mistake and huge learning lesson was, you know, do your numbers and look at the highest and best use for a property. Just because you're excited about flipping because you watched a TV show doesn't mean that's the best choice for you and your financial future.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, maybe this is not very nice, but I'm kind of encouraged when I see Brandon make mistakes because the guy is so stinking smart and he's done so much and done so well. You know, I have to listen to, when I get discouraged, I listen to Brandon Turner's mistakes because, you know, this looks like, yeah, I can't believe that he did this, you know. And you know, a lot of us do this. We'll see, gosh, this is a great price. Oh my gosh, you know, I got to jump on this thing. But we don't think it all the way out because all we're seeing is the price. Oh man, I got a single family, three bedroom, two bath home for $5,000. Well, why is it only $5,000? And it doesn't always mean it's going to be a good deal, right? Sometimes we have to try to turn those things around. You know, I've experienced that exact thing myself. Not analyzing the deals, it's so hard to believe that he didn't do that. But that's, you know, they've got the greatest analyzer on biggerpockets.com. And it's free for people to use. So, you know, he should have just used that. But I guess it wasn't developed yet. And nonetheless, and then he had these like major CapEx things. But I think one of the biggest things that just, you know, just like, kind of surprised me was the fact that he wanted to convert a duplex, you know, and he bought this house. What I mean, didn't he kind of figure out that he would make more as a duplex than he would as a single family home? But he had this flipping thing in his mind, and it sounds like that's where he was going with it. But man, you know, he's now very multifamily focused, and I think that kind of thing could never happen again. But a lot of issues there, you know, and just spending all the extra money to make a real cool rehab. Spending way too much on the rehab and, you know, ending up losing $10,000 on that. A lot of great messages in there, but I'll tell you, that's something that a lot of us can do. And it's something we can all avoid if we're looking at our first deals too. Again, a low price tag isn't always a good deal. Now, you can still get good deals out there, but you got to analyze those deals, and you've also got to allow the funds to do the things that you need to do. He talked about the CapEx, and it is so true. We've all had this happen that, you know, have that rent single family homes out, and you're, you know, you got your, you know, whatever you may be pulling in, $3,000, $4,000 a year, but all of a sudden, you know, you've got to replace an air conditioner or something that, or you didn't anticipate that the roof would have to be replaced so soon. Those kinds of things will just wipe out your cash flow for a year or maybe longer. Good stuff there from Brandon Turner. Well, this ran longer than I thought. So guess what? We're making a two-parter here. I think there's going to be some good stuff. I've got some great, great folks ahead. I mentioned Rod Cleave. We're going to have some other superstars in there as well, of course, include Jay Scott and Ken McElroy and stuff. So definitely tune in next week, and we'll continue on with our special little presentation here called Real Estate Investing Rockstars Biggest Mistakes Part 2. So hang in there. It will be just as much fun as this one was, which was very different for me. That's it for today. Please note everything presented here today. And there will be links to these podcasts so you can hear their whole interviews if you'd like to. And I would recommend it because these are some of the greatest interviews we've had. So just look for the episode entitled Real Estate Investing Rockstars Biggest Mistakes, Part 1. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.